in to her house, and she begins to talk with them as she's hid them away. And she lies to the guards. She sends the guards to go try to find them outside the walls. And then as she receives these men into her house, she begins to talk with them. There's two spies. There's two men from the God of Israel that has came to her house. The Bible says that the number two is the number of witness. When Jesus died, there was two thieves on each side of him. When Jesus was in the tomb, there stood two angels at the tomb. When Jesus ascended into heaven, there was two men clothed in white apparel. There was two witnesses raised in the books of Revelation. There are disciples that were sent out two by two. There's two parts to the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The number two is the number of witness. And God has grace and he has mercy, the number two. And we see these two spies have entered in to her house, and they begin to talk with her and tell her why they are there. I believe that they're probably about to uproot the very being of her life. They are about to change who she is. They are about to change her life with what they are about to tell her about who they are. And they begin to tell her who they are, about how they've been delivered from bondage in Egypt, about how they come over on the Red Sea, and they come over on dry ground, how they went through the wilderness, and their clothes did not wither away, and their shoes did not wither away, and for 40 years they were in that wilderness, and that God had promised them the promised land, and that Jericho is going to fall because of that. They probably told her about the Passover lamb, about how they all been washed in the blood of that Passover lamb, and about how God has redeemed them. And she's heard them, and she says that she's heard of their God. She said she's heard of the Egyptians, and she said that she's heard that the Israelites are coming their way. The Bible says in verse number 9, and she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She said, our people here inside these walls, we may have these wonderful fortified walls. We've always felt safe inside these walls, but we heard about 40 years ago when you got out of Egypt, and we have been afraid of you all ever since. We are afraid of your God. She said, there's never been another army before that we've been scared of. We have these double layered walls. We've never been scared of anybody. She said, but your God wasn't scared of the Red Sea. Your God wasn't scared of the pyramids. She said, the water cannot stop God. He will just go and walk on it. I believe that the mountains, they cannot stop God. He can lower them. And the valley can't stop God. He'll just exalt it. And the fire cannot stop in him. He'll just walk in it like he did with the Hebrew boys. And then the cross, it can't stop God either. Because what he'll do is he'll just bleed on it and die on it for the sins of all the world. And the tomb cannot stop God, because he can just rise up again on the third day and walk out on the other side. And the devil, he cannot stop God. He's tried and he's tried again, but he cannot stop God. And I'm telling you, this is what she's hearing, and she is scared to death. She said, your God is God. I thank God for the day that he come by my way and the Holy Ghost showed me who God really is and what God can really do and how he could save me from going to a devil's hell And on August the 3rd, 2010, at the Lackey Town Baptist Church, God came my way. And he said, "Son, I've come to save you." And I said, "Oh, Father, would you save me from my sins?" We see that she is afraid. The Bible says that their hearts did melt. I believe that that is conviction coming in on top of this lady. I believe that she has conviction. To be saved, you must be under conviction. She's probably shaking. She's trembling. She said, "Our hearts did melt." I think about the jailer when he came in when Paul and Silas were in jail, and he come in and he was shaking and trembling, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they showed him how to be saved. I think of Felix when he stood before Paul and he trembled and he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He was under conviction. And I think of myself when God came my way. I was scared to move, but I was scared not to. My hands, I was white knuckling on the back of a pew. I was scared to death. I was shaking all over as I come to that altar and fell under the weight of my sins. And we see that Rahab here, she is under conviction. She recognizes her need for God. And I'm glad there was a time that I recognized my need for God. And there's a time in your life when you have to recognize your need for an almighty God. And I see thirdly this morning, not only do we see all these other things, but we see that there's been a change in her life now, and we see her pledge. She's been persuaded. She's fallen under conviction, and she says, "Your God, he is God, in heaven above and earth beneath." And the Bible says in verse 12, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you up to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out the doors of thy house into the streets, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of our thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." We see that she's made a decision to follow God. She's exercising faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourself. It is the gift of God." She has come to God by faith. And she makes a pledge with these guys. She makes an oath, and she lets them down by a scarlet cord. The same thing that is saving these men in this moment is about to be the same thing that's going to save her and her family. The same thing that saved her is the same thing that saved them. The reason they chose this scarlet cord, I'm guessing, is because they've had experience of the saving power of this scarlet thread. They couldn't say to her any other way of how they could save her, but they had experience of the thing that saved them. I'm telling you, if you go to Jesus, if you go to the cross, if you go to the blood, I can take you there because I've been there. I've experienced that. The same thing that saved me is the same thing that can save you. And they say, bind this scarlet cord in the window, and there you will be covered in this scarlet thread. I think about how when they were in Egypt and they had the Passover, and they come through and they put the blood on the tops and the side of the door, and there they sat covered by the scarlet blood of a lamb. And now they're telling her to bind this scarlet thread through the window, and there she'll be covered by the scarlet thread that is there. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." They say if the scarlet if scarlet ever gets something on it, that there's nothing that can get it out except for one thing, and that is the chemical compound that makes up the compound of blood. The only thing that can get scarlet out of clothing is blood. The only thing that can get the scarlet stains of your sin out is the blood of Jesus Christ. And there you will be white as snow. And we see here she has this scarlet thread out the window. I believe it's representing the blood being applied to her life. I'm telling you that this is her saving moment. This cord speaks for her in this moment for salvation, and the blood of Jesus Christ, it speaks for me in my moment of salvation and redemption. I see fourthly this morning, we see that we've seen her persuasion, we've seen her position, we've seen and now we see her pardon. Number four, her pardon. The judgment of God has come. The children of Israel, we know that they were to march around that wall seven times on the seventh day. And they were to be silent all the way around until the seventh time when the trumpet blows, they are all to shout. And can't you see, as the children of Israel, they begin to march lap one around. They begin to march lap two around. Don't you know that probably inside those walls people were hearing the clanking of all these children of Israel walking around, and they're probably absolutely scared to death. Rahab done said their hearts did melt when they heard of them, and so now all they got to do is look over the wall, and now they can see them marching, and they're silent. What in the world are they quiet for? Why are they being silent? And they're marching around and round. And can't you see Rahab as she's sitting there inside her house, and she brings all of her family in, and she throws that scarlet thread out the window, and then the seventh time around the trumpet sounds, and then they all begin to shout, and the walls, they begin to crumble down. These city walls, they have fallen, and Rahab and those inside, they are fine and dandy inside that house that she's in, and that house was on the wall, but yet the walls have fallen, and Rahab the harlot is fine. And her family is fine. I wonder as she had her family in there, they have that scarlet thread out. They probably hear the rumblings of the wall falling. Maybe somebody looked at her and said, "Oh no, what is this?" And she said, "It's that scarlet cord out the window." And they said, "Yep, it's still there." She said, "Then we are fine." I'm telling you, when this world gets shaky, when this world gets rough, all you gotta do is look and say, "Is the blood still there?" And I'm telling you, it's still there. The blood ain't going nowhere. And you will be fine inside the covenant promise of Jesus Christ. I think of Noah when judgment had come upon the earth. And God said, "Come into the ark." And God shut the door. Inside that ark, there was a flood going on outside. Surely the boat was rocking. Surely people was dying all around. Surely the waves were rough. But Noah and his family were safe and sound inside of the promise of God. And so anyone who has found Christ is safe and secure inside of the Father's hands. I'm wondering, maybe Rahab's standing there and she says, "Don't worry about all the shaking that's going on around us. We are going to be all right." Maybe somebody said to her in the family, "What's the difference between us in here and them out there?" there. She said the difference is that we are on the right side of this scarlet thread. I'm telling you today, the difference between us in here and the world out there is the blood is being applied on this side. And on that side, there's a world that's dying. And we need to go and tell them to come on inside where the blood is applied. And there they can be safe and secure. What's the difference? What's keeping you from hell? It's the blood. It's the scarlet thread. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible then says in Joshua, I believe it's Joshua chapter number 6, after these walls have fallen, and the Bible says, verse 24 in chapter 6, verse 23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was there in, only the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 25, and Joshua saved the Rahab, the harlot, alive. Now, we talked before we started about how the name Joshua is the exact same as the name Jesus. So I believe that it would be okay here in the scriptures to place this in. And Jesus saved Rahab the harlot alive. I believe it might be okay to put it like this. And Jesus saved Luke Waldrop the sinner alive. I'm telling you, on the worst of days, you have something to thank God about. That is that Jesus has saved you from your sins. Things may not be going good. Things may look bleak, but on the worst of days, on the darkest of days, you can look and say, I don't have to go to hell. I can place my name in Joshua chapter number 6, verse 25, and say that Jesus saved so and so, and I'm going to rest on that promise that the blood's been applied in my life and that I'm going to heaven. I'm telling you, the year 2023, the blood still hasn't lost its power. God is still saving sinners, and He can still do much more each and every day, and God isn't going to stop now. He didn't stop then, and He's not going to stop in the future. His promise is from eternity past to eternity present through eternity future. One of these days, we're going to get to go, and we're going to get to meet Him face to face, and it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was applied. It's all because of the Christmas story about how Jesus came to a lowly manger, gave His life on Calvary for us, lived a sinless life so that we might be saved, all because right through here, because He had love for sinners, because He said, I want to die for sinners. And that's what happened here for Rahab. God had a love for a sinner. And I see next, fifthly and lastly, and I'll be done, we see her pedigree. She has been redeemed. She's been washed in the blood. She's been saved. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 in verse number 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Oh, we see Rahab is now in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Not only is she in the lineage of Jesus Christ, but no longer here does it say Rahab the harlot. It just says Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And if you look up the word name Salmon in the Hebrew text, his name means garment. His name means raiment. So what I'm telling you is, once Rahab was saved alive by Joshua, she went out and she met a boy named Salmon there in the Israelite camp. And she got married to him. And no longer was she Rahab the harlot, because now she's married to Salmon, whose name is garment. And she's clothed with the garment of righteousness. And today, I am clothed with the garment of righteousness because of what the Father has done for me. I think of that old prodigal son when he left home and he went out in the hog lot and he come home and he come to himself. He realized, my servants have it better than I do. And so he went back home. And when he came, he said, Father, I'll just be a servant. But the Father took off his robe and clothed that boy in his own robe. And so when everybody looked on around, they could look at that boy and they'd say, is that the Father? And they would recognize that boy to be the Father, because he's in the Father's clothes. knows. I'm telling you today that as a Christian, you are Christ-like. That's what that means. And so that means that you have Christ living in you. You wear the robes of Jesus Christ today. And it's all because the blood hasn't lost its power, and Jesus today is still saving sinners. I thank God for the day that Jesus came to be born of a virgin. What a wonderful season that we're in this Christmas season. And Jesus truly is the reason for the season. If you would please stand, Pastor, if you would come. A promise by the scarlet. I'm glad today that God made a promise that he would never leave nor forsake, and that his blood would save.
Thank you, Luke, for preaching. That's what saith the word of God. Heads are bowed. Organists and pianists, please come. Invitation is given. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, what an opportunity it would be. Come to bow your head and say, Lord, save me. The spirit of conviction is upon your heart this morning. You may have a need this morning. Whatever that need is, would you come? The Lord wants to grant unto his children all the blessings, but we have to be humble and receive those. We appreciate the good message, Brother Luke. Thank God for being able to hear what thus saith the Lord. God has placed every one of us here this morning. We've been able to sing the songs of Zion. We've been lifted up by the Spirit of Almighty God and then the precious Word of God. He still lives. Whatever your need this morning, would you come? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never done that before for salvation, what an opportunity it would be in this old unfriendly world. And God convicts sinners. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful we can bow our unworthy heads and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to go to an old rugged cross, paying our sin debt. Lord, we love you, and we know it's no good work that we could ever do. It's only about us coming and believing and accepting what you want us to do. And we thank you, Father, for the songs we've heard, for the message we've heard from your precious word. And God, we're needy. And we thank Heavenly Father that you will grant those needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for everyone that's assembled here together. Lord, we just bow our unworthy head and say, Lord, thank you. So much to be thankful for. Thanks for the visitors you sent this way. Thanks for the Spirit of God that lives and dwells within us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can bow our unworthy heads and humble our hearts and say, Lord, thank you for that glorious day. We sure do love you, Lord. We bless and praise your name, the name of Jesus, the name above every name.